At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
You're listening to the Sports Grid Network.
Pro Football Rewind.
All right, we are in here on Pro Football Rewind. I am Kevin Walsh, joined by Davis Maddox, to take you through a great slate that took place here on Sunday for Week 14. Davis, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great. Great slate of games that we had. Great slate. It was very good DFS, very good betting. How did your Sunday go?
Yeah, not too bad. You know, some tough things that we weren't able to squeeze out, but that's kind of the nature of the beast. A short opening segment here, so I just wanted to ask you, what do you think the biggest story of Week 14 is from a fantasy perspective?
Mike Evans hamstring injury, right? We're going to have Breshad Perryman and Justin Watson playing a bigger role in that high volume passing offense for Tampa Bay. And Chris Godwin now really is going to have no competition for that target volume in the Buccaneers passing offense. Could be winning people fantasy football playoff championships while Mike Evans owners are feeling the exact opposite way.
Concern with the Jameis injury that he got pulled. At first, I thought maybe it was because of performance, but he then comes in, finishes with all these yards with the hand injury that took him out of the game for a brief period.
You certainly could see them shut him down. You know, they're eliminated from playoff contention. There's nothing for them to play for. I guess the one thing you could say is they want as much film and as much of a sample as possible of him in this Bruce Arians offense, because they have to decide what to do with him in terms of a contract now in a couple short months. But if he's hurt at all, I would imagine this is probably the last that we've seen of Jameis this year.
And then just on the surface, what do you think the biggest story of Week 14 is? For my money, would probably be just the fact that the Pats finally lost at Foxborough.
Yeah, it has to be the Patriots' home loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. They've now lost to the Chiefs. They got dunked on by the Houston Texans and the Baltimore Ravens. I think that, outside of Foxborough, outside of New England, I think the general opinion now on the New England Patriots is that they are a beatable NFL team, and that's the first time that's been the consensus for a while.
Yeah, I think the Pats are good, not great, but we will have the ability to expand on that throughout Pro Football Rewind. When we come back, Davis and myself will be breaking down the box scores from what was an exciting Week 14 slate. We had Ravens, Bills, and Niners, Saints. Both games were pretty fun. We'll talk about it on the other side of Pro Football Rewind. Keep it here on the Sports Grid.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So, listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, we are back here. Pro Football Rewind. Kevin Walsh and Davis Maddock taking you through the Week 14 slate. And Davis, let's talk about what is maybe the game of the season. Niners-Saints. The total of this game was 46. Not typically would you be able to get to the total with either team's actual points. 48-46, the Niners win this game. They move on to be 11-2. The Saints fall to 10-3 now. Obviously, this was big in terms of the one seed. Just, did you think this was going to be the high-scoring affair that it was, almost flirting with 100 total points?
So I definitely didn't think it was going to be the highest scoring game of the week. Mm-hmm. I actually thought that Kansas City, New England had the chance to get there. I did think it was going to be high scoring, though. They did not cover, but I did pick the New Orleans Saints, and of course they lost mm-hmm. on the dramatic last minute field goal. After watching this game, though, I feel pretty vindicated about liking the Saints side mm-hmm. because the whole reasoning for the line of this game was the dominant 49ers defense. And of course, you know, we just mm-hmm. didn't see that in this game. Drew Brees, 40 passing attempts. 349 passing yards. He had 5 passing touchdowns and a rushing touchdown. Just a huge fantasy day for him. And I thought the Saints offense pretty much looked comfortable this entire game. And I know the 49ers won this game. Mm-hmm. I know that they marched into New Orleans and they were able to come out of there with a win where they scored 48. But somehow I actually feel less encouraged about their chances in the playoffs after watching this game than I did when it started. Because, you know, do we really think that this is who Jimmy Garoppolo is? Do right. we think that he's going to be throwing 4 passing touchdowns? Do we think they're going to be able to, that's what they're going to do in the playoffs? Like, I kind of don't think so. And I think that, you know, maybe against the Seahawks in particular, I really think that they are at a disadvantage because, you know, so much of their strength does come from the defense. And when they've played, fast or really good quarterbacks this year, they've struggled against mobile quarterbacks and the elite quarterbacks this year. I kind of think they're still susceptible.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, in terms of the schedule, the Saints, the final three is more favorable. It sounds cliche, but beating a team twice is tough. If they meet up again, that's a tall task for the Niners. And if it's in the Dome, winning there twice, good luck with that. So I tend to agree with you. But in fantasy perspective, I mean, Drew Brees, 6 total touchdowns, 5 passing. And then you look at Garoppolo, 4 total touchdowns, both through on the nose for 349 yards. Are these guys that you're going to be able to absolutely fully trust in these fantasy playoff matchups?
I think Brees for sure. I mean, we know we would rather start Brees at home than on the road, but I definitely think that the Saints offense is in a place right now because Alvin Kamara, he really struggled with efficiency today. He had 13 rushing attempts, was only able to get 25 rushing yards, was not involved much as a receiver either, only 4 for 18. So right now, their offense is kind of in the best place it can be in is with Drew Brees passing. Jimmy, on the other hand, I think he's probably like a back end quarterback one, but even someone like, you know, Josh Allen, Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray, I would prefer those guys. I would definitely prefer those guys over Jimmy G. I know that feels crazy to say with him coming off of this 4 touchdown game, but the nature of the San Francisco 49ers offense, it's just a little bit more conservative. You know, even in this crazy high intensity game, some of their best plays were Matt Breida rushing attempts, right? Like he was the long Matt Breida rush is actually what set up the game-winning field goal before the George Kittle reception. So, I do kind of think that Jimmy is a volatile guy to be starting in the fantasy playoffs.
What about Jared Cook? Now, he had 2 catches, but they were productive. 64 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's got 4 touchdowns in as many weeks. I don't think this was a guy that people were over the moon about starting in the fantasy playoffs. He obviously left this game hurt, but if this guy is healthy to go, considering the position, should people be excited about starting Jared Cook to close out the year?
You got to be excited about any tight end that is even involved in their offense. The state of fantasy tight ends right now, it's so brutal. Like you're looking at guys like people thought they hit the jackpot with Jack Doyle. He was barely involved in the passing game for Indianapolis today, and we have guys filling in. You know, like we have Ian Thomas who came in and had a big game today. We had Tyler Higbee last week who had a big game for the Los Angeles Rams. So really, people are just they are scraping the bottom of the barrel for tight end points. So provided that Jared Cook is able to be healthy and be playing in weeks 15 and 16, I think you have to be excited about using him. And I think part of the reason why people think that Jared Cook has been a disappointment is he was horrible to start the year.
Yes.
I believe he only had like 6 catches in the first month of the season. But since then, he's been a top 10 tight end in fantasy. And, we just really have that anchor effect with him of remembering how disappointing he was at the beginning of the year. But, when the year ends, Jared Cook is going to have, top 10 tight end fantasy numbers. And I think you should start him that way.
Unless there's anything else that you feel necessary to hit on here, I'm ready to move on to Ravens Bills.
One more thing. Tevin Coleman saw only 3 carries in this game, 10 for Raheem Mostert, 6 for Matt Breida. Mm-hmm. If you are a playoff team that either survived this Tevin Coleman performance or you had him in weeks past and benched him and did not start him this week, I would not be looking forward to starting him for the rest of the year. I think the team signed him to have a very specific role, but it wasn't for very much money. And what they found was that Matt Breida is just better than he is.
Yeah,
so, if Tevin Coleman is on your roster, I would not be starting him in the weeks to come.
Now, Ravens-Bills was the other marquee matchup coming into this 1 o'clock. The Ravens win 24-17. They continue to be the hottest team in the football, now sole possession of that top spot in the AFC. Davis, I remember we did the show way back one time I got to fill in for Matt, and you said, yeah, Lamar Jackson is at worst the second-best fantasy quarterback. It's held true, and it's been a bit better than even you said at that point because I know Mahomes had the injury. Coming up against a tough Bills defense, this guy still throws 3 touchdowns. I mean, it feels like a no-brainer. This guy's the fantasy MVP and the league MVP.
Yeah, both. He is definitely going, like him and Christian McCaffrey are going to be the 2 guys who are on the most like fantasy football championship rosters at the end of the year. Like I'm in some of these high stakes leagues, the FFPC main event and some of these other leagues. And just looking at the top of those leaderboards, the teams that are all the way up there, they have Lamar Jackson and they have Christian McCaffrey. And this game, it's not going to get a ton of like you know, there's not going to be a ton of national media attention about this game. It's a Bills game, and they were expected to win, and they did. But I actually think this was one of the more impressive performances of Lamar's, you know, of his season, because he did this pretty much entirely with his arm. He only rushed 11 times in this game. Mark Ingram was more involved as a rusher, was even used as the Wildcat quarterback a couple times. And the two plays that really broke this game open, one was the 61-yard touchdown to Hayden Hurst. Lamar threw what I thought was probably the best pass of his career thus far, hit Hayden Hurst perfectly in stride over the safeties as he was getting smashed by the defensive end. I mean, just the most perfect pass. And then the scramble play where he's moving off to his right and he's about to run it into the end zone, but he sees that his tight end, Nick Boyle, has shed the block in front of him. So he kind of jumps and throws it up over the defensive lineman that was about to tackle him. Nick Boyle catches it and secures it for the touchdown. It's just, I cannot imagine how these defenses are going to supposed, like, I don't know how you guard Lamar Jackson. I just don't know how you stop him.
And I'll tell you, as somebody who actually played Lamar's over rushing yards prop, it was unfortunate he did it with his arm, but I'm a fan of the guy, so I was glad to still see him get it done. Mark Andrews, it could be questionable because they've got the short week against the Jets. If that's the case, is it Hayden Hurst? Is it Nick Boyle? Could it be both? Both were touchdown scorers today.
So Nick Boyle, not historically, but this year he's played more snaps than Hayden Hurst. But Hayden Hurst is more of the natural receiver. Nick Boyle is more of like the natural blocking tight end, kind of like what we saw with the Carolina Panthers today, where Manhurts came in and played a ton of snaps, but it was Ian Thomas that was running routes. Boyle has basically played over 60% of the snaps for this team, over the last 2 months of the season. Whereas Hurst and Andrews are more of situational players, I would think that Hurst is probably going to be the guy that we want to pick up for fantasy, because again, he's playing some of the limited snaps, but he is a more natural receiving tight end. I mean, people forget he was actually drafted ahead of Lamar Jackson by the Baltimore Ravens.
Yes, he was.
25th overall pick, went seven picks before Lamar Jackson, which that's big bar trivia for you people out there. If you ever want to stump your friends, ask them who did the Ravens draft ahead of Lamar Jackson, and no one will get it. And it's Hayden Hurst. So
it's
actually on a short week, I think Hayden Hurst might be a very sneaky waiver wire pickup for some of these teams that might be missing, you know, Jared Cook, Evan Ingram is out injured, Greg Olsen is out injured. I think it's definitely viable that Hayden Hurst could be a starting tight end.
It's wild that they selected him, not only over Mark Andrews, but as you said, Lamar Jackson. It's one of my favorite little things that exists out there. We come back, Josh Allen, not the greatest game, and a tough schedule to finish off the fantasy season. We'll talk about how trustworthy he is on the other side, along with the rest of Week 4. 14 on Pro Football Rewind.
NFL season is now upon us, and you can become the eighth person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament by setting their lineups using the DailyRoto.com DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Sign up now for the NFL access with a faster optimizer, smarter DFS projections, and better results. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRoto.com, where millionaires are made.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combos, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That is promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRoto.com, where millionaires are made. We are back here on Pro Football Rewind. Kevin Walsh alongside Davis Maddock. We were talking about Ravens Bills, Davis. And for me, Josh Allen's performance, I would like to think, could be considered concerning here. Only the one touchdown, throws for 146 yards on 17 completions on 39 attempts. On the ground, absolutely a non-factor. 2 carries for 9 yards. And this feels like it's important considering that his playoff schedule will close at Steelers and at Pats.
Man, I'm actually was just looking at the Steelers schedule on the way out, and this Bills Steelers game is huge for the AFC playoff picture. But also the Josh Allen sucking for fantasy thing is a pretty big story too, because he's been a guy who was top 10 in all of fantasy, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, everyone in fantasy points scored, and he was brutal today. Mm-hmm. Like, there are definitely people who were starting him in this matchup against the Ravens because, you know, they thought, okay, well, you know, whatever. And even in these tough spots for Josh Allen, he's been able to do it as a runner. And, you know, I got to give some fault to the coaching staff for the Bills. You know, they know that Josh Allen is not this hyper efficient passer. They know that he's never going to Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, march his team up and down the field with quick passes and being really decisive and calling the plays. And I don't really think that they put him in a position to succeed. You know, 2 rushing attempts, they had a goal line possession where they didn't attempt to run him once and they had to settle for a field goal. That's not good coaching. That's not intelligent. This was a game that was winnable and basically would have been a must win game for them. Like, it, had they treated this like a must win game, going for it on fourth down, you know, not settling for field goals when they got in the red zone, there is actually a chance that, believe it or not, they actually could still win this division. Yes. Had they won this game. Now it's probably dead now. Mm-hmm. The Patriots would have to go on an all-time swoon to not win the division now. But, you know, I think the Bills should kind of be ashamed for how they played this game, because it was winnable and they left some plays out there on the field.
This also then, the bad game from Josh Allen led to a bad game from John Brown, who's been incredible all year long. But this game had 8 targets, but it was only good for 3 catches and 26 yards. If we're going to be concerned about Josh Allen, do we then have to be concerned about John Brown, or at least, you know, be happy that he was still the receiver of 8 targets?
I think you're leaning more towards being happy that he still got the 8 targets. So even when kind of everything went sideways, he was still tied for the most targets on the team. Devin Singletary tied him with really just a lot of checkdowns. So yeah, John Brown was brutal today. And of course, he probably would have been a guy that you could have talked yourself into sitting. I would imagine probably that about 50% of John Brown's owners, you know, found a way to get him onto the bench and started someone in a little bit easier of a matchup. But if you were able to survive this performance from John Brown into next week or into the next few weeks, I do think that he's a guy that I would feel comfortable starting, provided, you know, they don't have horrible matchups. They get the Steelers up next. Not a great matchup. You know, he's going to have Minkah Fitzpatrick on him some, but I think the Patriots matchup is actually an example of a spot that might look bad on the surface, but I think it's still actually pretty manageable.
Singletary establishing himself as a guy that we can trust for the playoffs here. Pretty much, you know, in terms of fantasy, him getting over into PPR 15 points would be the lone bright spot. And he had a season high in both targets and receptions.
Yeah, so I guess if I'm gonna say one bad thing about the Bills coaching staff, I probably need to compliment for them for something that they did well, and that was that they didn't try and use too much Frank Gore in what was, you know, a really important game for them to win. They know Devin Singletary is better, so they started to use him that way. They did cost themselves again the red zone possession, giving Frank Gore a goal line carry when they probably should have given it to Josh Allen. But, you know, Singletary with this workload, like, this is like a top 10 kind of running back workload, and things have changed so much at the running back position over the last 2 weeks. We have so many running back injuries, which is kind of what always happens this late in the season. Mm-hmm. And Singletary, you know, is a guy who took 6 weeks off with that hamstring injury, so he's pretty fresh. I could see Singletary on some of these playoff teams that just really make a run.
Any other closing thoughts with this one before we go to Falcons Panthers?
Lamar is the MVP, and be very glad that you have him on your fantasy team.
Yeah, I think that is well said. Falcons Panthers, a 40-20 dismantling at the hands of the Atlanta Falcons. The first game, this team not coached by Ron Rivera in some time, and to a degree, I think you could say it showed. Now, at the end of the day, Christian McCaffrey, you look at the work in the rushing game, not productive, but what does it matter? 11 catches, 82 yards. Obviously, I would never ask you, are you starting this guy? There's no scenario where you're not. But are you concerned overall about how the Panthers team could finish the season off if they're going to, you know, end up 5-11 here?
They probably will get pretty close. I think that this team, they just need a new coach. Like the Dan Quinn thing, it's not working, and they have a ton of talent, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And we see this happen with teams. We see this happen in basketball. We see this happen in hockey. Just a core stays together too long. Mm-hmm. They suffer, you know, some sort of big traumatic loss, which the Falcons did in that Super Bowl, and they just never get right. And the Falcons really have not looked right since then.
For the Falcons, Devonta Freeman, I think you would consider the big bright spot. He's really starting to come on now. 17 carries, 84 yards, and the touchdown. Had 4 receptions here. This is a lot closer to the guy that people were drafting, in the third rounds of their drafts. Devonta Freeman earning the trust for the fantasy playoffs?
So Niners, I did not play deck, very though. Much Ooh. Of him. Yeah, I did not play very much of him in DFS today, and I'm very much regretting that because the Daily Roto projections loved him in this spot against Carolina. I would say, though, if a Falcons fan wanted to find a bright spot, or fantasy players as well, I think it's got to be Calvin Ridley. I mean, Ridley is going to score more fantasy points this year than Julio Jones, and Ridley was a guy who was drafted in the fifth round. He's really been, you know, one of, like, he's going to be another guy who's a staple of winning fantasy teams.
If I can ask you to project, a week ahead, this team traveling to San Fran would have been a daunting matchup, considering the points that they bled in this Falcons offense finding a bit of a rhythm here to close out the season. Are you all systems go on Freeman, Julio, Ridley, Matt Ryan next week against that Niners team?
No, man, I do not think that I'm in on the Falcons as an all systems go play against San Francisco. The Saints at home, that's definitely one scenario. But, you know, thinking about, you know, a gimpy playing 75% of the snaps, Julio Jones against Richard Sherman, not great on that. Matt Ryan playing outdoors against a defense that is going to be able to get to him early and often, not feeling great about that. I think I would start Hooper for sure. And I would start Ridley against this team for sure. And I mean, you're never benching Julio.
Right.
Like you cannot bring yourself to bench him, but that's not going to be a position that you like feel comfortable with. You're going to be like, well, I guess I'm starting him, but I'm not happy about it.
Anything else from this game before we hit Browns Bengals?
I really hope that Kyle Allen is not a starting NFL quarterback next year. Cause I'm really sick of watching him. He is a brutal watch.
Yeah, he is doing enough to, you know, Cam coming back to Carolina actually really could be in play for that team, because there's all this talk about where does Cam land. And I mean, I'll even ask you, do you think Cam is starting for this Panthers team next year, or do you think he has to find a home elsewhere?
either they are starting him or they have traded him to, you know, I can't think of a, maybe Tampa Bay, maybe they let go of Jameis and they give up a first round draft pick for Cam or something like that. But I would make Cam a -150 favorite to start in this game or to start for them in the first game next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really interesting spot. What this Panthers team's going to do, even them drafting Will Greer, and it, you know, is he in the conversation? But I want to talk Browns-Bengals, and this is a game that had a lot of buzz around it, not from the actual game, but no surprise, Odell Beckham and the off-field stuff here. Now, I do think he gets a lot of flack sometimes, but here we are again, him kind of wanting out of a situation here. And, you know, this Cleveland team, obviously, Davis, has not lived up to expectations, but they're able to get their sixth win of the season. However, you know, if you're an Odell Beckham owner, I mean, this has gotten brutal. Two catches for 39 yards, and that's all you got.
So brutal, man. And every time they go to the Browns when they're on the Red Zone channel, you're like, oh, this isn't anything good. They're not showing me the Browns because something good happened. They're going to show me, you know, their defense giving up a big run, Baker throwing an interception, or like them failing on fourth and goal or something. It's like watching this team, it's horrible. It's like they are not coached. It's like they just go out there and they just are running like schoolyard plays. Like, no, like everyone is not disciplined. They get penalties all the time. They just are always in these weird positions. I don't know. They were a team I was so excited to watch. You know, I love Baker, loved watching him in college, love Odell. You know, I think Landry is a pretty interesting player. I think Nick Chubb is really good.
Yeah.
You know, I think David Njoku, who was back in this game, did nothing. Three targets, one catch, 4 yards. You know, I was excited for this team, and it is a big disappointment how bad they were.
Even Baker, I wouldn't be surprised if some people out there made the leap of playing him in this matchup. 11 for 24, 192 yards and two picks. To his credit, the picks weren't really on him, but that doesn't make anything better if you played him in fantasy. If you did start him and you somehow got through it, the Cardinals are on deck. Could you possibly see Baker as an option for, I guess, what would probably be a semifinal matchup in the fantasy football playoffs?
I'll tell you what, if Baker Mayfield is out there on your waiver wire, which I'd have to think he is starting to get dropped in quite a number of leagues, I do think that you can start him against the Arizona Cardinals, because the Cardinals, they have been just so generous on defense to all of these opposing teams.
We'll come back. We'll talk about the Chubb Hunt split, how that could look in Arizona next week. And also, Joe Mixon starting to really deliver here for the fantasy football playoffs. We'll talk about that more on Pro Football Rewind.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back here. Pro Football Rewind. We were talking Bengals and Browns. It's Kevin Walsh and Davis Maddock. Davis, talk to me about this Chubb-Hunt split. I'm someone who personally has had Nick Chubb all season long. It was treating me incredible. And now I worry a little bit. I was on a bye, luckily, this week. But, I mean, Kareem Hunt has really come in here and absolutely commanded his fair share. I guess against Arizona, both more than viable next week.
Yeah, definitely both of them are going to be viable against Arizona. But yeah, it does not feel good as a Chubb owner. I have Chubb in a couple leagues, one of my biggest dynasty league that I play in with a couple other guys from around the fantasy industry. Had our quarterfinal today. Of course, I have Nick Chubb. And, if I was able to just play Cleveland running back, I was able to get those 9 rushes and right. those 3 targets for Kareem Hunt, would have felt pretty good about that. The biggest thing is just Chubb is not involved in the passing game at all anymore. That is all Kareem Hunt. And that's brutal for Nick Chubb, because that was really all that was separating him from someone like, 2018 Leonard Fournette or whatever, just those rush only style running backs. And, I don't think that this is going to remedy itself anytime soon. I think this is what Kareem Hunt is going to be for the rest of the year.
And what's tough about it is Chubb is good as a receiving back. It's just seemingly Kareem Hunt is better. And I can't really blame the Browns for not wanting to bury one guy into the ground. It just makes it difficult as a fantasy owner.
Yeah, it makes it very difficult, because it's not like you can sit them. It's right. Just like you just have to accept that you're going to get half of what you got before.
Yeah. Joe Mixon, man, 23 carries, 146 yards, and a touchdown. Had 4 targets, good enough for 3 catches and 40 yards. He's really been coming on strong to close out this season here. The Bengals next week do host the Patriots, but I'm kind of looking at Mixon, a guy we might end up, kind of calling a guy who wins you fantasy leagues.
Yeah, it's crazy, because what happened is when the Bengals realized they weren't going to win any games, they stopped throwing as much and they just started giving the ball to Joe Mixon. Yeah. 23 carries in this game, only 4 for Giovanni Bernard. And he was also used in the passing game as well. 4 targets, 3 catches for 40 yards for him. And, certainly you cannot be complaining if you own Joe Mixon in any format and were actually able to make the fantasy football playoffs, with him on your roster, because he was one of the worst guys to own for the first 8 weeks of the season. And then once Ryan Finley came in, they were like, oh, actually, we're horrible at throwing the ball. So we are just going to give the ball to exclusively Joe Mixon as much as possible.
I mean, I'll throw it out there, because I was someone who was high on the Browns. You said yourself that you were high on the Browns. They close out the year at Cardinals, home versus the Ravens, at Bengals. Is there any chance this team is 9-7, above 500, gives you a shot at the playoffs? Any chance?
So I think there probably is a chance, but they are going to run into a difficult situation there, which is I think that the Titans and the Steelers are probably both favorites to be 9-7 or better. In fact, I think the Steelers probably will be. So what every Steelers fan should be doing is they should be rooting against the Titans very heavily, because the Raiders aren't going to do it. The Jets aren't going to do it. Of course, the Broncos are not going to do it either, despite despite their strong performance today. So I think that is the Browns' best chance. And what they're going to do is the Browns are going to look back on some of these games that they have blown. They're going to look back at that Steelers game and they're going to be like, oh my, we can't believe that we freaking lost that game.
The Broncos one to me, Davis, was the absolute killer. Anything else with these two teams before we hit Packers Redskins?
I mean, maybe some people are probably going to want to talk about the Bengals wide receivers. I just think it's going to be tough. It's going to be very tough to pick between, you know, Boyd, Ross, Tate. Like, they're playing a lot of guys. They had nine different guys get targets today. That offense, it's just not concentrated enough for you to be, like, really comfortable starting anybody.
Yeah, Tyler Boyd was someone who early in the year was really kind, and Dalton back has helped this situation, but I agree, it's not something you're over the moon about. Packers, Redskins today. I mean, the Packers were big favorites at home against this Washington team. They don't even really come close to covering because even with the late touchdown from the Redskins, the Packers weren't going to cover beforehand. Before we kind of get into the box score of this whole thing, I mean, the Packers are 10-3, but even if having Aaron Rodgers, they do not feel on the tier of, say, the Saints and the Niners.
No, I mean, I don't think I would pick the Packers against any of the NFC playoff teams. I mean, I guess maybe I would against, like, the Rams, maybe. But, like, you go down and look, Cowboys, Packers, you know, you'd think that's probably pretty close. And you might even err on the side of the Cowboys. 49ers, for sure, you go the 49ers. Mm-hmm. Seahawks, you definitely are going to take the Seahawks. I would even say, in their own division, I would even say I would probably take the Vikings straight up over them. Wow. So I definitely agree with you. I do not think that this is the strongest iteration of the Packers by any means.
And it is a bit bizarre because I do think that they have a good enough defense. They've shown some flaws, but it's good enough to where if Rodgers was special, they really could make that claim. And even from a fantasy perspective, this thing's been hit or miss. I'll tell you right now, I went over 1.5 touchdown passes for this guy today, and it was -150 to get the over. And I probably got value on that -150, and it hurt quite a bit to see him only go out there and throw one touchdown pass in this game.
Yeah, and he definitely had opportunities. So the one he did throw was to Robert Tonyan, but he had one that hit rookie tight end Jay Sternberger in the hands, didn't get it. And definitely a big thing that they're doing differently over this year that they've never done before is on the goal line. When you had a Green Bay running back in fantasy, you knew it's never going in. Does not matter who it is. And they've had 20 guys that they've rotated through in Aaron Rodgers' career, but you knew it was never going to him. And now Aaron Jones is having such a phenomenal season and has earned so much of Rodgers' trust that on the 1 yard line, they just give it to Aaron Jones.
Yeah, I don't know if I can ever remember someone like Aaron Jones having the season that he has while also finding a way to have a couple of games where he is absolutely miserable. He feels very, very boom or bust, although to his credit, I think it's been more boom. The interesting thing for this Green Bay team is they'll finish out the regular season, and obviously then that means the fantasy playoffs. With their entire division, they're going to host the Bears next week, and then they're going to travel to Minnesota. From a fantasy perspective, from a betting perspective, even just straight up, how do you think Green Bay is going to finish this thing out?
I do not think that they are going to finish it out particularly strong because their passing offense, which has been what they have, you know, what they have, they have built off of that for pretty much forever. And I don't know if they are, I don't know if that's who they are anymore. You know, I do think that they're going to struggle in that road game a lot against the Vikings. That Lions game, probably a shoe-in given their quarterback situation. Right. But, you know, if that Vikings game, that could be for the division, would not surprise me to see them. I would not surprise me if, like, what happened to them against San Francisco happened to them against this Vikings team.
Yeah, I think it says a lot because one is quarterbacked by Rodgers and one is quarterbacked by Cousins. And I know Cousins is having a good season, but for the love of God, it is still Kirk Cousins. But there's just something off about this Packers team. I say that now knowing that in a Rodgers big spot, I'll always end up probably backing him. On the other side of the coin, the Washington Redskins won two games in a row coming into this. They were fairly competitive in this spot. I mean, if we're long-term projecting, Dwayne Haskins, is this a guy that you could see yourself being willing to own next year in fantasy if he's going to be coming at an incredibly cheap price, which I would assume he will?
So the reason why I will, I mean, I probably will not be drafting Haskins at all. He would be a guy I would be more interested in investing on the waiver wire, and there are a couple reasons. The first is that he does not run at all. Didn't run at all in college. Mm-hmm. Definitely there were some people like Stephen A. Smith who thought he was a running quarterback, but the guy does not run. So pretty much right there, when I'm looking at cheap quarterbacks in fantasy, the first thing I want to know is, does this guy run? If he doesn't run, I'm not super interested. The second reason why I'm not super interested is I think his coaches are bad, and I don't know if the coaches are going to get replaced. You know, every year Washington sucks and they never fire the coaches. They don't turn anything over. They keep the same GM. So it's hard for me to invest in a situation where I don't think the coaches are very good. I don't even think Haskins is that good. I think he's okay. And I think he is a guy who's going to be, he's definitely going to reflect his coaching staff and the offense that he's put in. And also, doesn't really have great weapons. McLaurin has been really good.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I mean, where's the talent on this offense? Darius Geis can't stop getting injured. Their best offensive player outside of McLaurin, you'd probably say, is Chris Thompson. Mm-hmm. Well, Thompson doesn't get used either. So like, and he's always injured. So, you know, I just don't know where the fantasy point scoring would come from.
The unfortunate thing is it's a nice fantasy playoff schedule here. Home against the Eagles and home against the Giants. Like, Terry McLaurin's probably a start, but I mean, can you pull yourself to start anybody else? If Geis is ruled out, AP did have 20 carries, 76 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you can start Adrian Peterson when Geis is inactive because this team knows that their quarterbacking situation is not good, so they don't even force it. You know, there have been games this year where they've been down 20 points and they've still just been establishing the run super, super hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really do think that it's tough, though, because if Geis is involved, you'd want to be excited about Geis, but how can you be? This guy is constantly getting hurt. I think the talent's there, Davis, but how can you trust him?
Yeah, I'm completely with you. I do think that he is a very talented player, but you know, for a lot of us who play like in dynasty leagues and things like that, we just think about, you know, what's the most likely outcomes for players' careers, and when you miss a rookie season with injury, you miss half of your second year with injury, and then you bookend that season. So he was injured to start the year. Now he's going to be injured to end the year. Yeah. I'm just always going to let someone else bet on that player because, well, you know, what's one thing we know about football? Guys are always going to be hurt. Mm-hmm. So at any given time, you want the least amount of injured players on your roster because you want guys who can score points.
Any other thing from this game? We're going to hit Lions-Vikings next. Maybe just, you know, Devontae Adams with a very subpar day.
Yeah, I mean, and this was just a very relaxed game for the Packers. There was never any doubt that they were going to lose. Peterson scored at the end, but this game was really never in doubt for the Packers. And, you know, they were up two touchdowns pretty much immediately. Devontae Adams was targeted when he was in the game, when it was competitive. I think that in more competitive games, you know, he's basically going to be fine.
Yeah, there's something about this Packers team. It doesn't seem like they care about the score. As long as they win, they win. If they're getting blown out, they're like, all right, whatever. We'll run it back next week. There is this weird, it's a nonchalant vibe, but I don't know if it's swagger or lack of care. There's something just weird about this Packers team. Coming up against a break, but I want to bring in this Vikings-Lions game. The Vikes were big favorites here. If you covered it, depended on the number you got. I think early on, it was probably around a 14, maybe 13.5. It closed under 13, though, I think, in a lot of spots. They win 20-7. It was a late touchdown that came for Blau. You know, I mean, from the Lions' perspective, quickly, the receiving core is usually where the attraction is. So you look forward for the Lions next week. They're going to play the Bucks. Are you looking forward to starting Galladay and Marvin Jones and company?
Probably not Marvin Jones, because Blau is like the classic bad ball quarterback, and that's not going to work with Marvin Jones. It is definitely going to work with Kenny Golladay. And you know what? I think I would still even start Bo Scarborough against that Buccaneers defense, because they might have Ryan Griffin at quarterback. So I would think that would make the spread for that game, you know, significantly closer. And even in this game where they were getting shut out until I believe the last drive of the or the second drive of the fourth quarter, Scarborough still got 19 carries.
Yeah. When we come back here, we'll talk about the Vikings side of things. Kirk Cousins, Stephon Diggs, Will Thielen come back on the other side here of Pro Football Rewind. Keep it locked on the Sports Grid.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.